help us this evening as we prayerfully consider his word. I would direct your attention to the last clause in verse 15 in the chapter we read, the second book of Chronicles, chapter 20, verse 15, the last clause. For the battle is not yours, but God's. The whole verse reads as follows. And he said, this is Jahaziel, hearken ye, all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou, King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. I think this chapter is a most wonderful chapter of the appearing of God in heaven to deliver those that had massed enemies against them. And they were massed enemies. They were Moab, the Moabites, the Ammonites, and also the children of Mount Seir. And you know, we read in the chapter that in God's providence, when the children of Israel went into the promised land, and before, they were not allowed to destroy any of those that would be enemies. They were not unable to do it. Isn't it a mystery, we might say? Because now we've come to this point, several hundreds of years later, where we have this situation that the enemies rise up against Israel or against Judah. And so they've risen against Jehoshaphat to battle. And as I said, it's not just one enemy, it's the forces of the enemies. They've risen up against them. And naturally speaking, you can see in verse 3 why Jehoshaphat feared. But in his fearing, he immediately set himself to seek the Lord. And Judah gathered themselves together. That time of national prayer to ask help of the Lord. They came out of the cities. Friends, just picture exactly what they were doing. They were gathering together. We read, Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation in the house of the Lord before the new court. And as he starts to speak, he immediately speaks really in prayer, doesn't he? O Lord God of our fathers, art thou not God in heaven? You know, friends, this was some 800 years before the birth of Christ. You think of that. That's some 2,800 years ago. How pertinent that would be today, even in our land. Oh, art thou not God in heaven? We still have many, many enemies of the word of truth, don't we? But you see, they came to God. That's what we need to do with all the enemies we have, and I hope to speak a little of those things in a moment. But it is important to consider the background that they went to the Lord. And really, in his prayer, He questions God and he says, thou didst do this for previous generations. I don't know, friend, whether you've ever gone to the Lord in your prayers. I hope you have and said, Lord, I've seen thy salvation in others. Do perform it for me. You know, it's good, friends, to bring the Lord in that right way. Let me put it, to direct the Lord directs our prayers, but in our prayers to direct our thoughts to the Lord of that work that he's done in others and beg that he would do it in us. Not exactly, of course, the same blessings because they're individual. But you see, to remind the Lord of what he's done in others and all that he might do it to us. There's some teaching in this for us, I believe, as individuals. Now, this is on a national scale, of course, for the Israelites. And then he says if were they cry unto thee, verse 9, at the end, in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. Isn't it wonderful that for modern day Israel, let me say this, not the nation, I'm speaking here in terms now of the children of Israel, the followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, disciples of him then. Isn't it wonderful that when they are in affliction and in trouble and in difficulty, that if they cry unto him, then thou wilt hear and help. Nothing has changed. It's the same these 2,800 years later. Oh, what a wonderful mercy. May we be encouraged in it tonight. But you see, I do love verse 13. All Judah stood before the Lord. And then it says, then their little ones. It doesn't say their wives, first of all. It brings the... I don't know if you've ever thought of that. But how beautiful that is. The little ones. We're thinking of our little ones. Or the little ones are to be mentioned, as it were, first. Before the wives. Before the children. It's the little children. Friends, it speaks of the kingdom of heaven. Except ye become as a little child, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. And so the little ones came. Yes, before they stood before the Lord. Oh, may we do it like this, friends. We sometimes see those that are weak in faith. We hear that they're struggling with their faith. May we bring the little ones in faith before the Lord. Lord, strengthen their faith. Lord, intercede on their behalf. Yes. And perhaps we feel ourselves to be amongst the weaklings in faith. But oh, friends, that others may pray for us, that we may be strengthened. Because you see, faith ebbs and flows, doesn't it? It's one of the battles. One of the battles that we have to fight. And so then this man, Jahaziel, it means in Hebrew, the Lord sees. Beautiful. The Lord sees. Jehoshaphat means the Lord will judge. And so the Lord did judge that the enemies would be destroyed. And so the Lord did see where the enemies were. And he set the ambushments. Isn't that wonderful? In verse 22, when they began to sing, the Lord set ambushments. I just want to say here, friends, in the battles we have to fight, and there were many, you and I are guilty of setting ambushments. We do it ourselves. I'll sort this problem out. I'll do this. I'll be able to arrange things. We're setting ambushments, you see. When we've got those things that come against us. We even think we could stand against the devil, friends, sometimes. I know, I'm guilty of it. Those insinuations from him, and we think, yeah, I can stand, I can fight. Ah, friends, to prove that we need the Lord to set ambushments. What we are given is the gift of prayer, and that's a wonderful mercy. But no, don't set ambushments. If you've got a conflict, you may have a situation, friends, how the Lord has brought me often into a situation in my work that seemed utterly impossible. Conflict, perhaps. Someone that's standing against us. And it's been like this. We try and do a workaround. We try and set our ambushments. But then we find this. The Lord intercedes. I had one person... going back some years, I had I worked as a group practice manager for a group of veterinary surgeries, and I had one person who was, from day one, she was a practice manager in one of the branches. So she reported directly to me, but from day one, she was so difficult to deal with. And you know, I tried to work it out. I tried to get the partners to speak to her. I tried to manage the situation, I did everything. Until the Lord said to me, bring it to me in prayer. Bring it to me. Lay it before me. Watch and see what I will do. I had to wait a couple of years, friends. But you know, the Lord completely broke the computer system one night. I was due to go home at 5:30. And I had a phone call at 20 past saying, we're in a mess. And I said, I won't go home. I come over and I spent all my evening. And at the end of it, nothing was said. But from that day onwards, her whole attitude towards me changed. And the Lord had answered prayer. I don't know what made her change, really. But it was almost as if the battle isn't yours, it's mine. I will fight your battles for you. What teaching there is, even in these little things in our life. And I say that to the friends here that are in their work situations, to remember the battles you have to fight. They're not in your hand. The battle is not yours. You may have one at the moment. It's God's. Yes. But each of us have those battles to fight. And this man was given then, this man, that means the Lord sees, he was given such insight that the Lord would appear and grant deliverance. We have to remember, friends, we know the end of the story from the beginning. He prophesied that the Lord would be with you. Because the Lord spoke to him so clearly. Now this man was a Levite. That's all we know of the sons of Asaph. He came through the Levites, who were the priests, as you know. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. What a wonderful thing. When the Spirit of the Lord is with us as we worship. The Spirit of the Lord makes all the difference, doesn't it? In our gatherings. Well, he came in the midst of the congregation. Hearken ye. Oh, the voice of the Lord. Hearken ye. And said this, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude. Friends, don't forget it, a great multitude. It's a marvellous deliverance. Because we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Oh, yes, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. Friends, if you came to chapel not knowing what to do, now you know what to do. Our eyes are upon thee for the battle. The battle is not yours, but God's. Wonderful, wonderful language and promise of God. And how it was done. What faith now. They arose early in the morning and they went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And I am told that this wilderness is otherwise known as the Valley of Decision. Friends, I love that, the Valley of Decision. You know, we get to those valleys where we have to make decisions. But let me tell you this, the Valley of Decision is best made that the decisions are God's decision. This is the way, walk ye in it when ye turn to the right or the left. That's the decision. That's the valley we want to be in, friends. Well, let us move on. You see, as we consider this, they're in this valley and Jehoshaphat says, believe in the Lord your God. Believe in the Lord your God. So shall ye be established. So ye shall prosper if ye believe his prophets. But when he consulted with the people, he put the singers in the front. They're not armed. They're singing. And they're in the front. They're exposed. You think of it, going to war with the singers, praising God in the front. Well, they went out before the army to say, praise the Lord. And they hadn't yet been delivered. And there they are singing his praises. Friends, what teaching there is spiritually for you and I. When we see this battle, when we see all these enemies, when we see Satan fighting against us, when we see our own heart and its lack of faith, And yet, friends, we should still be praising and honouring God. We should be. It's so clear in Scripture, that because it was verse 22, when they began to sing and to praise, then the Lord set the ambushments that we already spoke of. Yes. And you know, they destroyed one another, didn't they? And it was remarkable, because it took them 3 days to gather all the spoil. You know, I'd not noticed this before.
or thought of this before, but not only did the Lord destroy all the enemy, but he gave them wonderful provision, including jewelry. Well, wonder what it was all worth. How many hundreds of thousands, millions of pounds was it worth? And the Lord provided it, as well as destroying his enemies. It's like a double blessing, friends. And that's what he does. And that's what he does. He gives the jewel instead of sin that we've got. Yes, that he gives us double for all our sins. He gives us the plenitude of heaven. He gives us eternal life there instead of the desperate situation of our sins. It's a complete opposite, isn't it? Well, what is the battle then? As we've gone through this quickly through this chapter to consider some of those points, what are the things that we battle against? The Lord's people have opposition. If we don't know any opposition in our religion, friends, I question our religion, I'm afraid. Because you find there's opposition throughout the characters in the Old Testament, opposition for those in the New Testament, and it is so. Firstly, of course, we have the great enemy of enemies, Satan. And there will be a battle to be fought. But how wonderful that we are given the gift of prayer. How wonderful that we have that we can fight against him. You know, in the Pilgrim's Progress, we read a pilgrim. And he comes to that time where he has a battle with Apollyon. And who is the devil. And he's been given a sword to defend himself. And the devil says, I will destroy your soul. And friends, what was said in this dream that John Bunyan had is very true of how Satan desires to destroy the soul of every single believer. He's already got the non-believer. He doesn't need to worry about them. And this is a battle. This is a battle. And when you read that battle of how Apollyon comes and he says, I shall destroy your soul. And he sends these darts. He sends one dart, first of all, which Christian puts up the shield of faith and is able to shield himself against the dart. But then you read this. You read it's like hail stones. The number of darts that are thrown by the enemy. My friends, you will know something of the darts. You will know it. It's like this. Call that a religion? What has the Lord really done for you? Or you go to chapel, you hear the word, you enjoy it, and then you forget when you go out. And the next day you're back at your work or you're back in your retirement and there's nothing in you. All these little insinuations. You know, I walked my daughter's dog through the woods this morning. And as I walked it through the wood, these thoughts came in. This is how the devil works. Yeah, you know, yes, I acknowledge that the Lord has used your ministry here and there. But you've been sent to minister to the people and God, and you will be destroyed yourself in the end. You're being used of God, but you there's nothing in you. There's nothing in you. You'll fall short at that final hurdle. Friends, I said to my wife, I spoke to the dog. I feel envious of you sometimes. Because there's nothing to know. You haven't got to present yourself before God. And but you know, as we went through those words, I felt this. The taunts of the enemy, but it came to me, the text that the Lord had laid upon me, the battle is not yours, but God's. Who is almighty? Satan is mighty. He is a mighty enemy. But let us come back to our scene with Christian fighting with Apollyon. There he is in that battle, and the darts are raging. And then when they get to closer together, he's been able to hold those off through as he's praying to the Lord with his shield. But friends, this, he holds him off. But then they're wrestling and he's losing that. And his sword gets knocked out of his hand. He said, I've got you now. I've got you now, friends. Perhaps that's where you walk in. It's as if Satan's got you now. Got you in his sieve. Oh, he's going about as a roaring lion and he's got you. And then we read that somehow Christian is given strength to reach out, to gather his sword, and he delivers a blow to the devil that flies off and is gone. And he says this, rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. Rejoice not. Ah, friends, how wonderful this is to consider the battle against the devil. And he's subtle ways sometimes, and he's very deliberate ways at other times. Those thoughts that come into your head. Well, may you be able to stand. May it be like this. I think Psalm 144 says this, blessed be the Lord my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight. So that's one enemy. Another enemy is our own thoughts and feelings. A great battle. Because, friends, we are creatures of fear. We drag along, as the hymn writer says, and fear where no fear is. We worry about it. Now, we're different. Some of us are more worriers than others, naturally. But we all worry about things, don't we? And our lack of faith. We believe in the Lord, we profess our faith, and then we get into a situation where we're tried and we think, can ever God deliver me? And we question whether our God is able. Yes. But you see, that, in all that, the battle is not yours, but God's. He will help you to overcome. He will, friends. Your own lack of faith. He will strengthen your faith at the right times. He will come and deliver you. I do believe that all of the Lord's people know what this is. This up and down. Sometimes they feel they're strong in the faith. And sometimes they feel weak in the faith. And so we go on. But the battle. And then, friends, there is, once the Lord has worked in the heart and soul and we've been converted in that way to love the Lord Jesus, to follow him, to desire this, Satan hasn't given up. Satan hasn't given up, friends, and he still attacks us. But you see, leaving him to one side, the battle that we have in religion, what is termed the old man of sin, our sinful nature, and the new man of grace, because grace now reigns in us. Friends, you see, we have, if we're gracious souls, the grace that's given of the Lord Jesus, and that gracious spirit is fighting against the nature. And friends, often, sadly, nature wins, doesn't it? But there is that battle. In every believer, two armies are seen, the old man of the new man of grace and the old man of sin. That battle. But the battle of faith is not yours. It's God's. He will fight that battle for you. And then there are those battles that we get in life. I quoted, didn't I, about my situation at work. But we get them in day-to-day life. In the family. In our work. In our... The unknown future is a battle. Our plans for the future, but we're not sure how they will work out. It's a battle. But friends, instead of trying to set the plans for yourself and the ambushments, as we've spoken of, look to the Lord. Seek his way. The battle is not yours. It's his. God holds the key to all unknown, and I am glad. If other hands should hold the key, or if he offered it to me, I might be sad. The battle is not yours, God's. And other things that we battle with, emotions, sadnesses, sorrows, troubles, afflictions, battling, impossibilities. Perhaps as a round of treatment. Perhaps as things that we've got before us. We look to the uncertain future and we have all those fears and tremblings. And friends, we want to manage it. We want to control it. And we look to the end of our life, that great battle of death that we have before us that we fear and dread. Oh, to be able to lay these things in prayer before the Lord and to prove in them all the battle is not ours, but God's. You know, this word was most remarkably spoken to my dear father. He was asked to take a reading service at Tunbridge Chapel many years ago, 1972, I believe it was. And he wasn't yet a member, and he trembled. And he was asked to help out because, well, I think arrangements were such that there wasn't anyone available at the time. And anyway, he initially declined. He just felt he couldn't do it. One morning he was driving he had a shop in Staplehurst, actually, where we live, and he was living at Paddockwood then, so that's about a 13-mile drive, and he was driving across to his shop one morning, and there was a voice in the back of the car. The battle is not yours, but God's. And no, friends, he had to ring up and say, look, I feel I've got to take that service. And the Lord greatly blessed him and used it, and indeed it was a forerunner for him to go into the ministry. But he proved it, that battle. You see, that thing that was before him, it wasn't his to deal with, it was the Lord's. And so we each prove it, I believe, in the pathway. You know, I thought of this word, friends, in Deuteronomy 3, verse 22. You shall not fear them. That's opposition, that anyone that opposes you. For the Lord your God, he shall fight for you. You shall not fear them. For the Lord your God, he shall fight for you. You know, those words were written by General Ironside in a letter to General Dobby in 1940 when he went to, was given the job of defending Malta and was in charge of the forces in Malta. And he was there for 2 years from 1940 to 1942, and that little island was bombed 2,000 times by the Germans during those 2 years, and they could not take it. How that word came to pass, and how they saw so many remarkable deliverances. For the Lord your God, he shall fight for you. He'll fight for you, friend, in whatever you're in. Oh, to think, you've got one at your right hand to fight your battles. Everyone has battles in life. Everyone does. But to have this God, this great God, at your right hand, yes. You know, as we continued on our walk this morning, friends, and it just comes back to me, I saw a grave as I walked through the graveyard in Staplehurst, and it said this. And I've never noticed this grave before. It simply said this: I will hold thy right hand. I will hold thy right hand. And of course it's a reference to Isaiah 41 verse 13. For I the Lord will hold thy right hand. And I believe I preached from that word once here. I don't think I've actually preached from it anywhere else. But saying unto thee, fear not, for I am with thee. But this is what the Lord will do. Hold the right hand of his dear people, because the battle is his. He shall fight for you. He shall fight for you. And, you know, it's lovely when we think of King Asa, Again, the Spirit of the Lord came in Second Book of Chronicles a bit earlier in chapter 15. And the word came unto the king there through Azariah, the son of Oded, and says this, "The Lord is with you, while ye be with him." What a word it is for us to consider. "And if ye seek him, he will be found of you." That's the essence, friends, tonight, isn't it? To pray on in our pathway. That battle and that impossibility may be worked on by God and God alone. And if ye forsake him, he will forsake you. Oh, and we read regarding Israel, when they in their trouble did turn to the Lord God of Israel and sought him, he was found of them in their trouble. Yes, friends, soul trouble, providential trouble, whatever it is. Oh, that we might know what it is to have that stillness in the Lord Jesus Christ. I thought of Paul writing, as he did, to the church at Ephesus. And he says this, "Put on the whole armour of God." See, we're being made ready for the battle by this armour of God. "That ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, the rulers of darkness, etc. Spiritual wickedness in high places." Very true. Today, friends, in the land, we do. But it says, "Take unto you the whole armour of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day." And it talks about the breastplate of righteousness, that is, being right and walking uprightly. "Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace." Taking the shield of faith. That's Christian shield, isn't it? "Wherewith you'll be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked." Take the helmet of salvation. Yes, well, we need our head to be covered, don't we? Because it's so easily can be a mortal wound to the head. But the helmet of salvation. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Yes, friends. You know, Satan hates the Word of God being quoted to him. But then it goes on to this, and this is the essence. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. But not just praying, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Watching and praying. You see, friends, these gifts that are given unto the dear Lord's people. You see, because you're going to come across, it's not, with the story of David and Goliath was not just for David and to show the deliverance with Goliath. It was for all of the Lord's people. Because we are but little Davids against the Goliaths of enemies that we come against. But you know, the Lord says he will destroy them. He will destroy the enemies of the word. And he will be with his people. Friends, I don't wish to keep you. I see the time really is gone. But it's a lovely word for us to take home, isn't it? And really, verse 17 seems to underline. I do like it where you get a word virtually repeated. So the end of our word is, "The battle is not yours but God's." And verse 17 says, "Ye shall not need to fight in this battle." Well, don't fight in it then, friend. Take it home. Go home with all those troubles, all those difficulties, all those battles, and lay them before the Lord. And don't touch them. Harder done than said, I know. Easy to say it. But oh, may the Lord help you to leave the concerns with him. The battles over your soul, the battles over your pathway, the battles of all those things that you've got. Because you know, friends, you're going to be the victor. Through, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. So this lovely repeat. Why do we need a repeat? Why did they? Because it needed to make sure the message was clear. And I believe the Lord does that. And I know people can say, well, we don't want to hear repetition in the gospel message or in the message from the Lord. But you see, it's so often repeated. I quoted earlier that text about holding the right hand. You read that chapter and see how many fear nots. It's not just in verse 10. It's verse 11, Isaiah 41. It's in verse 13 and verse 14, I think. You see, repeats. They're good for us. They're good for us. So we have this: for the battle is not yours but God's. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. Amen.